Okay, good afternoon, everyone. I would like to welcome you to our next talk. It's about RFID, privacy rules, and what the European Union actually tries to do to protect our privacy. As you all know, RFIDs become more and more common in our everyday life, and the European Union has actually seen that this can become a serious threat to privacy and, our personal lives, and has installed an expert group called the RFID Expert Group, whose task is to produce guidelines to the member states how to react on RFIDs. And I would like to welcome today with us Andreas Krisch. He's a member of this expert group and working on protecting our privacy even though RFID threat is present. Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, my name is Andreas Krisch. I work for voluntary for European Digital Rights, which is an umbrella organization of privacy and civil rights organizations in Europe. IDRI was founded in 2002 and is growing since then. We currently have 28 member organizations from 17 different countries in Europe, and some of our activities are also in our PVQ newsletter that is published since 2003 and called IDRIGRAM. German translation of this newsletter is also available since 2006 on my homepage on www.unwatched.org. What I'm going to do today, to tell you today, is what happened on EU policy on RFID and privacy and security on the EU level in 2007, what results are already there or will be there soon, and what will happen or is likely to happen next year in 2008. The European Commission did an online consultation on RFID in 2006, from July to September, where 2,200 persons responded to this consultation. Of this, 70% interested citizens, which is quite a lot for a public consultation, I think, and 15% industry representatives and so on. Also, Germany has a good position in this. Had a good position in this consultation. 43% of the respondents were from Germany. Thank you for that, for responding. And 24% from France. Other EU countries like Belgium, UK, Austria, follow by 4 to 5% each. So, quite a lot response from Germany and France, and much fewer from other countries. The report on the findings of this consultation was published this year. I'm not going into the details. I have prepared some of them, but only want to give you a big overview of what the response of citizens was to RFID. The question if there is a great potential offered by RFID was not so clearly answered. 44% of the respondents said no, there is no potential, or not a great one, and only 41% said yes, there is. Most of the respondents, 61% of them, felt that there was insufficient information on RFID to tell anything about it or to make an informed analysis of it. So we really see that there is a need for more information on RFID, what's about the technology, and what's the potentials and risks of the technology are. But there is a strong feeling that the current legislation in place in Europe is insufficient for RFID and for all these things that might come with the technology. A clear answer was given regards, is there a threat of surveillance, is there a threat to privacy? Many respondents said that there clearly and visibly is such a threat, and that RFIDs should be marked, and there should be a sign, be careful, there is RFID inside. They asked for kill commands to switch off the technology, and they felt that self-regulation industry guidelines are not the proper means to respond to this technology and all the effects that come with it. RFID in supermarkets was a quite interesting question. 1984 respondents, I don't know how they managed to get this number, maybe all fans of George Orwell, said, two-thirds of them said RFIDs should be automatically deactivated at checkout. So use it where it's useful and then switch it off, please, I don't want to get in touch with that. Well, how to deal with privacy and security risks is clearly answered with use privacy by design, manage your security and privacy throughout the whole application and all the processes and so on. Research options, three-thirds of the respondents said that research on pets, on privacy-enhancing technologies is needed, and that governance of Internet of Things, the new system and bytes might be created on basis of RFID has to be in a transparent, fair, non-discriminatory way, and that no commercial interest should be involved in governance of these systems. So, the summary of the consultation, this is a quote from it on page 33, is that the large majority feel that the large-scale deployment of RFID technology will result in excessive surveillance and massive privacy violation, collection of data about consumers in order to control the purchasing patterns, and a Big Brother society. So there are really concerns, and it seems the European Commission recognized that concerns and responded to it this year in July by establishing an RFID expert group. This is an advisory group that provides advice to the European Commission on the creation of a recommendation to the member states. So the Commission wants to do a recommendation to put rules for RFID together and recommend to the member states that they apply to these rules, that they observe these rules when RFID is implemented in their country. So a recommendation is soft law. This is not a binding law. This is just a recommendation as the name is given and just a first step to look, be careful with that. We should think about what we are doing here. So it's a first step in a policy process. We have to see that this recommendation, the results of that recommendation, and how the member states respond to that will be evaluated after some time, and the Commission will say, okay, do we feel that now it's going in the right direction, or will there be a problem? Is there a problem? Do we have react by more binding legislation, by a directive or something like that? Well, the RFID expert group also has in its mandate to develop guidelines on how RFID applications should be operated. It should support the European Commission in awareness raising. This is what I do today, I hope at least. And to provide objective information and facilitate the exchange of experiences and good practices. This is what we mostly do in the expert group, where we discuss lots of topics related to RFID, privacy, and security, and have an exchange between all the members of the group. Who are the members? There are end-user representatives like ANEC and BIUK, the consumer organizations on the European level, GMB and UNI, which are union organizations. There are industrial associations like the German Informationsforum RFID, the RFID Center UK and others. Privacy organizations, well, it should say organization because there's only one, it's IDRI. Representatives of application sectors like Carrefour, Nokia, NXP, SAP, and so on. And of course, standardization bodies. SEN, EPC Global, which is the inventor, so to say, of the European, of the electronic product code. ETSI, which some of you maybe know because they designed the interfaces for surveillance of telecommunication, and ICT standards boards. Observers of the group are representatives of the member states that will assume presidency of the European Union during the existence of the expert group. Then the Article 29 Working Party, which is the organization of data protection, supranational data protection supervisors on European level, The European Data Protection Supervisor, of course, and CNIL, which is the French Data Protection Authority. The activities of the group, it was established in July 2007. Since then, we already had 5 meetings this year, so approximately every month there is a meeting in Brussels on RFID and security and privacy, where mainly there is a dialogue between stakeholders on RFID and the related issues, where presentations are given on certain topics, where discussions about the topics take place, and where members, when they feel there is a need for it, issue position papers, written documents to the group and to the commission to represent their views on those issues. Yeah, and all this contributes, of course, to the preparation of the recommendation to the member states, and was supposed to be issued by the end of 2007. Unfortunately, it isn't published by now, but I expect it will be in the next week, so it shouldn't be too long until it becomes public. Therefore, I'm not able to tell much about the details what will be in the recommendation, but I can give you, an informed feeling of what might be in it. Let's put it that way. Well, what did IDRI for in the RFID expert group? We wrote 3 contributions to the group on privacy issues, security issues, and the topic of giving informed consent in relation with RFID, which is not quite a simple thing, but rather complicated, if you don't even know if there is a tag in something. Regarding privacy issues, the first thing that we have to think about when it comes to RFID is that we have a technology that's purpose is to give information on an object. You tag, for example, a bottle of water with a tag to store information on the tag or to attach information to that tag. Information about the object that is tagged with it. But RFID is not an information technology, but an identification technology. It basically gives a number to an object, and then to that number there is information attached. But first it identifies the object. And a global system identifying objects can lead, of course, to a global system's identifying purpose, simply because there is always some person involved with an object. An object it doesn't exist alone for itself. So there's always some connection to persons, and that will bring the threat of an identification system for persons rather than for objects. So what is necessary? We have to limit the identification to an absolute minimum, and we have to put the person in the center of the RFID application, and the person is the one that has to initiate the interaction with an application. Currently, with RFID systems, it is the application itself that is harvesting all the numbers, all the information that is on RFIDs in its surrounding. And this is the problem. We have to put the person in the center and give the person the ability to choose which applications to use and which not. Data protection requirements at a general level is, of course, to strengthen the data protection authorities. We have across Europe, not everywhere, such a lucky situation as is in Germany, with lots of data protection authorities in every country, and with, as it seems, quite some funding for that. In Austria, for example, the data protection authority is very, very low funded. We have just half of staff there than an average country of that size has in Europe, and there have to be some support in an organizational way. So we need support for our data protection authorities if RFID is deployed on a large scale. They have to observe that. They have to do their job with these applications, and this will be a large problem. So furthermore, we have to minimize the use of personal data, of course. We have to implement privacy-friendly defaults. We have to build system or to urge that systems are built in a privacy-friendly way that support privacy by default. We have to standardize interfaces for data protection authorities, because unlikely that data protection authorities can go to every application provider or every RFID application and check the system in full depth. So they need standardized interfaces to do automatically their checking of if privacy compliance is available or not. We have to establish, or we need to establish, standardized data protection audits. This is already on the way. We have the European project on the European Privacy Seal, which basically takes the successful concept from Schleswig-Holstein and tries to translate it to the European level. There are 6 countries currently working on this, and I think this is quite a good thing to have, and we should try to get this successful, and this will be an important thing to have. And the final point that is necessary, I think, is that unlawful behavior with regard to data protection, with regard to privacy protection, has to be considerably sanctioned. There is currently basically no sanction than saying that's not allowed, stop it. And finally, we of course need open standards. We need to enable diversity. We need to give support to small and medium enterprises with open standards to enable them to work on that. And we need to enable, of course, free and open software and free and open hardware projects with regards to RFID, because this is the basis for supporting the development of privacy-friendly technology. It's usually the small, medium enterprises and the free software movement that are producing valuable software in this field and valuable products in this field. So we should take care of that. Trust is, I think, the key for successful RFID deployment. We need effective tools for privacy protection and sufficient information on the systematic context of the overall system. How does it work? Who is getting which data? What are the mechanisms behind the application? We have to provide standardized user-friendly interfaces, tools that help the users to control the information processed on them. I want to have information on which objects in my belonging is tagged and which information is on that. And I want to control who has access to that data. So we need standards there, we need applications there, we need mobile devices like mobile phones, for example, to control our RFID equipment that we carry with us, if it is expected to have a large-scale deployment. Furthermore, we need adequate identity management mechanisms that support us in giving and manage our consent that we give to applications, that we give to anybody to process our personal data, because there will be much of information collected in RFID systems, and only if we are able to manage the consent that we gave, then we will be able to control if they stick to that. And if our preferences are really observed, and if our privacy is dealt with in a way that we like. And we, of course, need a balanced, comprehensive, and objective information on RFID. I think in the last years, information on RFID was basically that this is an absolute cool technology that has no privacy damaging possibilities anyway, because, for example, it's not possible to read RFIDs from satellites. But it's not the question if I can read it from satellites. It's the question what happens with the data on that tag or on that RFID in 5 centimeters distance. Is there a reader in the door over there? And is there a possibility to read that? What are the real threats of RFID? So we have to provide balanced and objective information, not industry standard, industry language or something like that. What we did in the first In the first paper that we sent to the expert group was also a classification of RFID systems. Usually, RFID systems are classified by the application, by the reading range of the tags, by the sector in that it is implemented or used, on the tags used if they are active, passive, or don't know what. And we think that it should rather be considered what data protection and user control is. How that is managed. If we have, like currently, RFID systems that have no data protection at all, where everybody can access the data on the chip if he has a reader, which is not an expensive thing to buy. And we have systems that just inform the user, in the best case, be aware there is RFID. But no information is usually given on how can I exercise my data protection rights. To whom do I have to go to get information on what is the application behind that RFID? What is done with that data? For what purpose is it collected? And so on. So this was a suggestion we made, and I think it was at least considered. Information on RFID. As already said, we need to, and as it was in the results of the public consultation, is that people feel they don't have enough information on RFID to say anything about it or to judge if this is a good thing to have or not. So we need general information given to the public to tell them, okay, this is the system, so that's how it works, and this is what can be done with that. Furthermore, we need, of course, information on the very application with that the individual is confronted in that situation. Because if he doesn't know the global picture and doesn't know the application, how can he or she say, okay, I'm fine with this processing and I agree to that? Means to give this information for the specific application, it could be logos that could be put in near the readers and could be put on the tags to show, look, here is an RFID in it, be careful and think about what you want to do with it. But the meaning of such logos should be kept simple, I think, because there were suggestions to make a logo for the very privacy-friendly RFIDs and for the RFIDs that only contain a serial number and for other RFIDs that are only used in don't know what purposes. So this would just create confusion, I think. We have to keep it simple. RFID, yes or no. This is the message that has to be delivered to the individual and to the persons confronted with it. And following that, they can deal with that and ask, okay, what is the application behind that? And how is it used? And is it useful for me or is it not? So when the tag remains active when an individual gains ownership or possession, information has to be provided on which information is on the tag, by whom this information can possibly be accessed. This is not only, for example, the supermarket where I bought the bottle of water, but this is currently every RFID application that uses the same frequency. So this has to be, this information has to be given to the individual. We need information on the applications behind it, what is done with the data, for what purposes will it be used, how long will it be stored, and so on. And this is the info that we need to decide. And if we like to use this RFID in RFID-enabled areas, do I really want to go with that bottle of water in any RFID-enabled environment? So this is maybe not a problem with a bottle of water, but what about my medicines that I carry with me or something like that? And of course, additional, there is general information on RFID required, as already mentioned. So what are the options? The options are, by default, I get RFIDs switched on or switched off. So do we have an opt-out or an opt-in system? If we have any of these systems, we have to deal with the problem that someone doesn't want it. So what options do we have to get rid of that functionality? We can remove the tags. We can alter the data stored on the tags. We can modify the functionality of the tags. And we keep the tag of the data unchanged, of course, when someone wants to use it. IDRI strongly asks to implement an opt-in system because opt-in, by default, protects everybody, regardless if this person has knowledge about RFID or not. So by default, everybody is protected. If someone wants to use it, fine, opt-in, use it. Great thing. Currently, there are no sufficient access control mechanisms for data stored on the tag. So therefore, we need an opt-in system. Otherwise, you won't know which information you transmit when you carry all your objects with you, from shoes to pulleys and to pullovers and so on. And the third problem is that individuals have to decide on a general level. We can't say, I want RFID to use this application, but I don't want it to use that one. We have to say RFID yes or RFID no, but nothing in between. And this is why opt-in is necessary. And industry tends to say that, of course, opt-in is a huge problem because there will be no after-sales applications for RFID. Well, nobody hinders someone to build great RFID applications. And they will come, I'm sure. The only thing is those providers of those applications have to convince their users. Just tell them why it is a great application. Tell them why they should use it and what the benefits are. And if there are benefits and that are sufficient, then enough people will use it and go for it, I'm sure. And finally, the last point why it is necessary to have opt-in is that it's simply unlikely that a sufficient information is given, for example, at supermarket checkouts on Saturday afternoon at rush hours, when thousands of people are queuing at the cash desk, and it's not possible to inform every customer what RFID is, what the potentials and what the threats are, and to give him a view on the whole picture. To explain, there is a object name service, there is a discovery service, there are manufacturers, distributors, retailers involved that store information on that and that exchange information amongst each other. So how will you do that within 20 seconds on a supermarket cash desk? No chance. So we have to deal with deactivation of RFID functionality. There are several ways to do that. Tags can be deactivated or killed, so they cease to transmit any data and cease to function. This is said by experts that it's very slow. It's said to need 4 times the reading time, which is in large quantities not practicable, they say. An option would be RFID zappers that simply destroy the tag, might be. But one thing is sure, the burden of deactivation must not be put on individuals. So we need, as already said, an opt-in, not an opt-out system. So I will come back later to that point of responsibilities for that. Data alteration is another possibility. Industry, like EPC Global, likes to call this disablement. This is simply nothing else but to reduce the accuracy of data. When you first have an electronic product code that uniquely identifies an object, they remove the unique part and leave the part that identifies the product group. They called it disablement, I don't know why. Some information remains on the tag, that's clear, and is still transmitted to readers. So if I pass a reader with my bottle of water, then the reader at least knows, oh, there is a bottle of water, nice thing. The problem with data alteration is that it is said to be very expensive and that therefore large-scale deployment is impossible. From a privacy point of view, it's insufficient anyway because still data is transmitted, still information about myself and the objects I carry with me is transmitted. So we ask to not support this as a means of privacy protection, and we also ask to not call it disablement because this is simply misleading. Now we come to a mechanism that we call disablement, which means that an RFID tag is altered in a way that functionality is temporarily switched on. Disable it, switch on, switch off, enable it, switch on. It's important that the re-enabling of the tag is only be done by authorized persons. So if this is my object with a tag on it, then I am the person who has to decide if I want to switch it on or off. This technology is not available as of today, so if you are in the RFID industry or want like to go there, this would be a great project to do. So maybe it will be developed in future. It might be a good means of privacy protection, and I think it is the way to go to get a privacy-friendly RFID, because we need user control. This is the most important thing with that. And, well, it might enable the users to opt into applications rather than the technology as a whole. And the important thing is that only authorized parties can do that then. Until this technology is developed, I think we should stay with simple things like the removal of RFID tags from objects. This is easy to do, intuitive to do. It's 100% effective because when the tag is not on the object, then there is no hidden reading or something like that. And the only thing that is required is that tags are attached in a way that supports the removal. For example, a floating sticker on clothing that can be cut off, or some other ways. Currently, this is certainly the most practical way and the cheapest and most reliable option to protect individuals from unwanted RFID functionality. So, who should do that? This is the next important question. If we have an opt-in regime, it is clear it's not the individual that is required to do this because it would be an opt-out. So the question is, should we put all the responsibility on the retailer? There are very small retailers just around the corner selling some sandwiches or something like that and some bottles of water. They most likely don't have the equipment to deal with that. So what we propose is to put the responsibility on that introduced the technology. So if a manufacturer feels that he wants to put RFID on his products, he is responsible for this technology and for this application. And when he gives this object away, his products away, then he has to ensure that it is dealt with it in an appropriate way. So if he passes it to a wholesaler, the wholesaler can say, okay, I'm fine with RFID, I have the equipment, I can deal with that, give me the RFIDs, I opt in. But if the wholesaler doesn't opt in, then the manufacturer is responsible for removing the technology. The same applies to wholesalers that say, okay, I take it, and for retailers as well. So we don't have a problem with the small store at the corner that isn't able to deal with RFID because they don't ever get it, simply because it's removed before it is delivered to them. And I think this is a good option to distribute that, the responsibility. Benefits, it even fits for small retailers, and it's even consistent with current article surveillance systems that are deactivated when I leave the store. How often does it happen that you enter a store and you start beeping? Not often, because they are efficient with deactivating that because they want to use that system. So this should be possible with RFIDs as well. And of course, benefits it meets the common sense of responsibility. Why should I, as an individual, be responsible for a technology that somebody else introduced? So, quite a good thing. Other contributions. Recently, the European Data Protection Supervisor issued an opinion on RFID just 2 weeks ago. Where he made some very good points, I think. I will present three or four of them. In this one, he suggests that the European Commission uses its powers to set up rules that RFID applications have to meet to gets the permission to be used in the public sphere. So set up privacy enhancing technologies, requirements for privacy protection, and so on. This is a thing that the Commission could do now because they are entitled to do that. Furthermore, he says that current data protection legislation is not to 100% applying to RFID. We have certain areas where it applies, everywhere personal data is involved or data is involved that can become personal, but there are also areas where this is not the case. And the argument of the data protection supervisor is that it might be necessary to also cover these applications that do not fall under the data protection directive, and to issue a special law for RFID applications and for RFID use to enhance the protection of individuals. Thirdly, he says that measures should, in any event, lay down the opt-in principle at the point of sale, regardless if personal data is included or not. This is an important thing, I think. And it should be ensured that mandatory deployment of RFID applications with the appropriate technical features like privacy of design is ensured. So have privacy protection from the very beginning in the application and remove the technology at the moment where it is not used anymore for the original purpose. There is also a proposal of the European Commission to amend the e-privacy directive. The e-privacy directive is the one that regulates privacy issues in public communication networks like telephone, internet, and so on. The European Commission proposed in November that also RFIDs should fall under this directive when they use public available electronic communication networks. This is good on one side to have privacy protection there, but there is also a backdraw with this proposal, I think, because if RFIDs or RFID applications are considered to be public communication networks, then also the data retention directive applies for that. And I'm not sure if we really want to have data retention on RFID basis. This would be huge amounts of data and very detailed information on everybody. Other contributions, there were studies of about 250 pages and opinion of the European Economic and Social Committee. They also said that privacy protection has to be in the center of the recommendation to the member states. The Rathenau Institute made a study on the user perspective on identity management. You will find the references later in the slides. The slides are also online in the conference system. So what will happen next? The next step will be that the Commission publishes an online consultation on the recommendation on RFID and privacy. This will happen in the next weeks. I think that the contents of this regulation will not be perfect, of course. It will not be 100% thing. But I think that we will have quite some good contents there and that let's say it will make 8 of 10 points or something like that. So what we should do next, we all together, you, is to respond to the online consultation of the European Commission that will come. Because it had an impact, it had a huge impact that a strong opinion was given in the consultation in 2006 that I presented at the beginning of my presentation. And I think it will be very good if we also can have a good response to the recommendation proposal to support the way that the Commission is going. Because, of course, industry representatives will do their work and will lobby in their direction. This is no question. Well, the recommendation after the consultation, it will be published and issued to the member states somewhere around summer, so May or June or something like that. And in the meantime, of course, the debate on RFID continues on European level, and also the debate on the Internet of Things starts. We have the next meeting of the expert group in January, and there we will start to have a look on applications that are built on RFID, where RFID is meant to be an enabling technology for Internet of Things, for connecting RFID sensors, internet, governance, and so on, and where we have to look on governance issues, for example, where we have to deal with transporter flow of data with the wholesalers and so on that I had on the slide about the functioning of the system, because if the manufacturer, for example, is in Spain and the end user and the supermarket is in Poland, then we have data flow, of course, between those. And if the manufacturer is outside of the European Union, then the data will flow there, certainly. And finally, there will be a recommendation on the Internet of Things. This will be issued end 2008 or beginning of 2009, and then we will see how these things develop and how it will go on. So, I thank you for your attention. If you have questions, please ask now.
Thanks. So you say in 2008 there will be a recommendation from the Commission, and then I guess that recommendation will be sent to the European Parliament for processing.
Yes, there will first be the online consultation, then the results of that consultation will be considered by the Commission, and then it goes through EU mechanisms to make the final recommendation. So it will go to the Parliament, it will go to the European Data Protection Supervisor and all the institutions that have to be involved for that.
Do you have any contacts, or do you know anything about the European Parliament, or if there are parliamentarians that already are involved in the RFID issues?
Not so far, no. I don't have information on that now.
Hello. You told us that you want to put the burden of enabling and disabling the RFID tags onto the producer, depending on the wholesaler's decision if he wants or doesn't want the RFID tag to be enabled. So I'm having trouble to see where the retailer at the end of the story really benefits from that, because I don't think the wholesaler is interested in the retailer's interests at this point. So I'm not sure where this link, where both connect. Okay, as a retailer, I can go to the wholesaler and say, I don't want my products to be RFID enabled from you, so please order some disabled ones. And the wholesaler says, no, I don't have any, and you don't buy enough, so I won't order any RFID disabled products. Personally, I think this the burden should, or the obligation should, go down the line to all people that are involved. Otherwise, I'm afraid the benefit of opt-in won't reach the customer at the end of the line.
What we propose is an opt-in regime for retailers as well, for everybody who is involved. So if the wholesaler doesn't opt in, he won't get RFID-equipped products. And if the retailer doesn't opt in, he won't get RFID-enabled objects or products. So we have to ensure that everybody who has to deal with the technology is able to do it. And we can't expect that the retailer, the small on the corner, dealing just with a few products, is able and has the technology to properly do that. So we have to protect him with putting the responsibility one step up in the chain, in the supply chain. And so I think this would be a proper way to do.
Throughout your talk, you use privacy very synonymously with the protection of private data, whereby I think you mean things like a name or a passport number, a credit card number, something that can be linked to your person. Mm-hmm. Isn't this the case, though, that the number of the RFID tag itself, even when there's no personal data stored behind it, becomes your identifier? And if you do continue to carry that very same number around, then mm-hmm. you lose what could be called location privacy?
Yes.
Is that something that is discussed within your forum?
Every time you have a unique identifier like electronic product code or something like that, you of course have the danger to have it as an identifier for your person. And this is one thing that, for example, the European Data Protection Supervisor clearly said in an opinion regarding the implementation of RFID-enabled FlexiTime data collection in the European Commission, that in the moment where there is a unique identifier, there is no need for a name for any other identifying tag or whatever information. This is already to be considered personal data. So it's not about what's my name or what's where I come from or something like that.
Since you're together in this group with also the manufacturers and the business people, how strong do they want to fight for RFID? Because this would enable, of course, a lot of business opportunities. And do they see that it can fire back to them if they don't take privacy seriously? So do they want to have that by all means, or are they listening to your complaints?
Well, I think they already noticed that they have to listen. The debate on RFID didn't start this year, or didn't start in 2007, but started in at least when it became public that the MIT Auto ID Center is working on the electronic product code and has plans to implement such systems. And so they know the debate very long industry, and they tried very hard to ignore it. And I think what they now learn is that it isn't possible to ignore that topic and that they have to deal with it. But I think they still are, in a way, disappointed that they have a drawback now. They have something that is hindering their wonderful applications that saves them, I don't know, trillions of euros or dollars or something like that. So it's a learning process, and I think The expert group is a good institution for that. We really have hours of discussion on topics like, is this number on the tag really personal data or not, or can it become personal data? Is it possible to use it in a way that is not compliant with data protection? So I think they are unhappy. They don't like it, but they have to comply. That's it.
I have the question, if this is opt-in and opt-out should go down the line from producer to, it should make clear that the producer doesn't say, I have to opt out it, so I want to have money for that opt-out. So we could be sure that it arrives out on the customer, and no one says, I have to pay more money if I want it opt out, so I buy it opt out without having the equipment to opt it out myself.
Well, this is I think the point that the European Data Protection Supervisor wanted to raise when he asked for a mandatory opt-in for RFIDs. So that it is ensured by law, and that it is really hard law that is ensuring that that RFID are killed if there is no further use and if there is no opt-in by a user. So this has to be implemented in hard law. I think there is no way to do it on a informal way with soft law like recommendations or with industry standards or something like that, because there is no way to enforce that.
I had a question about an economical point of view, especially because actually I have two questions. The first one would be if you look at the cost of RFID tags, most large retailers are targeting at really low cost RFID tags, especially so-called 5 cents RFID tags, which do not include read-write functionality, only read functionality. So then the only option would be to permanently to destroy them, mm-hmm. which also means that a lot of retailers, the advantages for retailers will decrease. For example, when you have a bottle of Coke, you cannot trace it back to the facility where it was produced. So the whole idea, one of the whole ideas behind RFID will not longer stand. So that means that from an economical point of view, it's not longer interesting for retailers to implement it. So what's your opinion about that? And the second question would be, if you look at returnable goods, for example, books in libraries, do you also suggest to disable those things? Because those are also at this point only read-only. And if you suggest to also disable that functionality, then it would be necessary to disable them only for a certain amount of time that you lend the book.
Well, regarding the first question, I think it's still that there still is a lot of benefits to industry and for retailers and the supply chain management and so on with RFID, even when it is removed at the checkout in the supermarket, because there is the end of the supply chain. There is no urgent need to use it any further, because only if the new owner wants to deal with it, there will be a use. Otherwise, there's no mean to keep it. So I think the main purpose that industry is aiming at is perfectly fulfilled with supply chain management.
But it's very costly to disable chips at that point.
It's costly to enable the chips. Yes, it is, but that's the reason why we ask to have it easily removable. So you don't have to destroy it, but you can remove it and or cut it off or something like that, and you have a low technology mechanism to get rid of it and to solve the problem. What already is done with that large theft protection tags that is on expensive clothing, for example, which is removed by hand. So there are ways to do that, I think. The second question was, returnable goods. I think we have to look on that in detail. As far as I know, the libraries have developed a mechanism that is in a way privacy friendly. They thought a lot about that. I haven't had the opportunity to deal with it at the moment, but I will have a look on it later. I think there we really need better technology that enables the disablement of the tags, because if I can take the book that is tagged with an RFID, then I can say, okay, it's now in my possession. I take the password for that and I switch it off. When I come back to the library, I switch it on again and give it back. So this would be an option. But still has to be developed, of course. Yeah, but it's a new technology that is developing. So we, of course, have to invent things. We, of course, have to steer the direction in that research is going. And I think this is the important thing at the moment.
Hello? Works?
Yes. First of all, it's quite funny that you use an IBAN number for your donations and if you're into privacy. But what I wanted to ask you is, are you aware of the RFID project, the RFID Guardian project that was presented here last year or the year before?
I've heard about it, but haven't looked at it in detail. But yeah, we'll do that. Thank you.
Does the community expert mention the passports with RFIDs includes? Are they explicitly mentioned in the study or?
We had a presentation by the German Bundesamt für Sicherheit in der Informationstechnik, that PSI, that developed the concept behind the tags and the passports, and they did their best to convince everybody that this is very secure technology and that everything is wonderful and so on. It is not explicitly in the recommendation. I don't think that it will be in there, because it's always difficult to deal with topics that either relate to the third pillar, law enforcement, and so on, and also these things that are international agreements. It's very hard to get a discussion going on that. So, I don't understand.
There won't be any power switch at the passport for the RFID chip.
No, there won't. Not at the moment. There are no plans for that.
Finished. I have another question. If the producer, the wholesaler, agree on sharing the profits for opting into the RFID system, then which incentives do you have in mind for them to refrain from that? Do you have any idea how you can convince them not to opt in if they all agree to share the profits from the data they learn through the RFID tags?
To share them with consumers?
If the producer, the wholesaler, the reseller, everybody who sells something, they agree on sharing the profits by collecting RFID data, mm-hmm. that results from that. So do you have any incentives in mind for them not to do that, for staying out of the RFID system, for not opting in?
Well, with European data protection legislation, you always have to have a purpose for your data collection. And if this is not a legitimate purpose, then you have to get the consent of the individual. So as long as the individual is not saying, okay, I'm fine with that, this application won't be legally existing. So, but of course, as I showed, and with transport border data, transport flow of data, this of course is an issue, because I don't know where this bottle was produced and where this water is coming from, and it's the same with diverse objects. And so, of course, this will be a topic, and that we have to deal with that.
I had one more question, because if we do this in the European Union, then we still would have a problem in North America and Asia, where RFID is already being implemented at large scale. So are you cooperating with organizations in, for example, North America and Asia, or is this a EU-only thing?
Currently it's an EU-only thing, but Commission always says that we are a very unique group and they are very proud of having established that group. And there are contacts between the European Commission and their counterparts, for example, in the USA, their counterparts in Japan, for example. And we also had a meeting with representatives from the US that formed a similar group, but only with industry representatives, no civil liberties groups or something like that. But there is an information exchange, and I think that we are quite leading the way at the moment with regard to privacy, and I think that we have a good position here.
No, sorry.
So, are there any more questions? No? Okay, then thank you for your attention. Goodbye.